This is the Epilogue Audio Experience.
The language and content on this podcast may be unsuitable for certain audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to episode 44 of the Dread Indian Show, and Shakira might live stream her next concert from prison. Waka waka, it's time for jail. That was so sad. That's because Shakira is likely to face an 8-year jail term in Spain for tax fraud. So apparently her hips do lie, at least to the Spanish government. And scientists are saying we should dim the sun to tackle global warming. Okay. Also, Saudi Arabia plans to build a 75-mile long mirrored skyscraper costing around $1 trillion. And talking about some other thing that involves a lot of money, Mega Millions jackpot in the US has grown to $1.1 billion. So somebody has a chance of winning that much money, but let's see. And finally, some scary news. Debris from a massive Chinese booster rocket could fall to Earth early next week. But going back to the first news, which is almost equivalent to debris falling on her, it's that Shakira might face an 8-year jail term in Spain for tax fraud. So she has been accused of defrauding the Spanish tax office out of 14.5 million euros on income earned between 2012 to 2014. Now my question is, if that's the tax, then how much did she earn? But then again, Shakira is an international star, and you know, she kind of performs all over the world. She was, I think, a judge on The Voice. So maybe she must have made like millions, and that's where the tax amount comes through. But the case is related to Barcelona, where she lived between 2012 to 2014 with her partner, the soccer player Gerard Pique. I hope I pronounced his name right. Peak. And recently, sadly, they ended their 11-year relationship. But Shakira is very clearly saying that she didn't stay in Spain during that time. So we don't know what the reality is, and we will only know once this case gets some kind of closure, like the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard case, which went on for like I think a month, and that was all over social media. So maybe this case also might come all over social media. So say bye bye for 1 month to your social media, to all of Shakira's posts from court. But you know, I just started thinking that if Shakira goes to jail, how would life be for her in jail? You know, I mean, a celebrity in jail. So people, I mean, generally people are put in jail to suffer, but the people who would be in jail along with her would not be suffering. I mean, you get to see a celebrity. That's so cool, right? I don't get to see Shakira like now and often, but if she's in the same jail cell, like imagine her jail inmate, that person will become her best friend. And whenever they have like a function, whenever, I'm trying to plug in songs of hers away. So whenever they have like a function at the jail, you know, like, I don't know, a Christmas party or a New Year party, guess who's going to be the headlining act? Shakira. And, you know, does she get preferential treatment? Does she get cigars because she is Colombian? Or does she get, you know, like a separate room, a TV, or does she get a penthouse, jail? See, there are a lot of questions that I have when celebrities go to jail. So are they treated differently or are they treated the same? We will again only know once she goes to jail. So let's see. But you know, I hope that Shakira doesn't have to go to jail. And I think she hasn't, you know, defaulted or defrauded the Spanish government, because there must be something wrong. So, I mean, in the papers that the Spanish government acquired. So I pray that she doesn't have to go to jail and she has a nice life, because she just came out of an 11-year relationship. You know, she's just healing still with the kids and everything. And then suddenly this thing has been bombarded. So yeah, hopefully everything comes out well, and she's clean and she gets to perform Waka Waka all around the world for the next 60 years. Moving to the next news, scientists. Okay, wait. So 60 years might not be 60 years depending on the next news, because you don't know what might happen to the world in 60 years. That's because scientists are saying that we should dim the sun to tackle global warming. Yes, you heard me right. They want us to dim the sun, like the sun is some kind of smart light. So we can just tell Alexa, you know, Alexa, why don't you dim the sun? And then Alexa responds, "You humans are stupid. Terminator is coming." And you're like, "What?" Alexa says, no. The temperature is 33 degrees Celsius. I mean, how can you just dim the sun? I mean, sun is bigger than the earth, so the sun's rays fall on the earth, but there's some kind of technology called climate cooling technology. So one way in this climate cooling technology is stratospheric aerosol injection, or SAI, and it involves spraying chemicals into the atmosphere to reflect away some of the sun's warmth. Now my question is, how many liters of this spray would be needed to cover all of the area on the earth? All right, 27% of the earth is land, so how much? And that land is huge, okay? So how much of spray would you need to cover the skies which you know are above that particular land? And what if they miss a spot? You know, I mean, there is a chance they might miss like 10 kilometers, or you know, an intern might just miss an area, and you know, the AI might not, or the flight or the aeroplane might not kind of, you know, spray that chemical in that particular area. So does that area become a hot spot, and does that kind of warm up over there? And this is not the first time that scientists are talking about, you know, trying to control, not the sun exactly, but the weather. Because I think back in 2008, during the Beijing Olympics, China had set aside 30 million for a project which involved shooting salt and mineral-filled bullets into the sky. And they claimed that they cleared the skies for the Beijing Olympics by forcing the rain to come early. So they played rain god. So they controlled the rain. Next, they might control snowfall. What else are the other things that happen through nature? Rain, snowfall, hail. But hail, I mean, kind of is a rare occurrence and stuff, but still, I mean, you just can't control weather like that, okay? I mean, that might cause uncontrolled rains, droughts, famines. A lot of shit can happen like that, you know. I mean, yes, you kind of evolving as far as technology is concerned, but leave weather as it is, no? Leave the weather to nature and the earth and everything. Just recently I read somewhere that the earth has started spinning faster than its usual speed, and it's basically it normally takes 24 hours for one rotation, but I think on the 19th of July it completed that one rotation in 1.59 milliseconds lesser time. Now that's not a big difference, but just to understand that in that 1.59 milliseconds, the earth covers a huge distance. So that distance was covered quite fast, and that's scary. So that can lead to, again, some kind of changes in the weather and this and that. So anyways, earth is going through I don't know, some kind of midlife crisis, and then suddenly here you have all these weather changes happening, or not weather changes, all these scientists trying to kind of, you know, stop the rain and do this and that, dim the sun. Don't kind of make it more difficult for the earth, you know. Let the earth heal, just like Shakira is healing, and you know, let them get back to normal, and maybe, you know, climate change might just get better. But yes, for that we need to kind of lessen down on pollution and blah blah, which this is not the right podcast to talk about that. But yeah, let the earth go through its midlife crisis properly and get back to, like, you know, normal terms, and yeah, then we all have a happy life, or at least till whenever we are alive. And talking about some other people who want to have a much more happier life, it's the people from Saudi Arabia. Actually, not the people from Saudi Arabia, it's the sheikhs and the kings over there. So Saudi Arabia plans to build a 75-mile-long mirrored skyscraper costing $1 trillion, okay? So if you go on the internet and you check NEOM, if you go on YouTube and you just type NEOM Saudi Arabia, you'll get a video where they are kind of showing this 3D video of the kind of city that they are planning to build. And it's a futuristic mega city that's the size of Massachusetts, I hope I pronounced it right, and is located on the Red Sea, and that'll stretch 170 kilometers, okay, and is 500 meters tall and 200 meters wide, and will house close to 9 million people. So from what I see, it looks like, you know, like a dam, I don't know, but it's just like a parallel, it's two parallel walls built on either side, and inside those two walls, there will be your you know, your places to stay. There will be like high speed rail, vertical farming, a sports stadium, a yacht marina, and there will be renewable energy and water and natural ventilation. See, all sounds cool, okay, and this will definitely save space. Maybe it's a new futuristic way of living, but I'm just thinking, you know, this again gets scary. So what if something goes wrong? Like, things shouldn't go wrong, but just like in a cruise, when, you know, the cruise is so fancy, it has everything, and then suddenly when the cruise gets stuck, you're stuck in the middle of the sea with nothing. What if, you know, the technology or the system that controls the entry and exits shuts, or the ventilation gets, they are saying it's natural ventilation, but you know, if something shuts or malfunctions and you're stuck in that dome for God knows how long, and obviously the security and everything would be really tight. So if something is shut and doesn't open, then it'll be difficult for these guys to penetrate. Hopefully penetrate. Always when somebody says penetrate in my office meeting, I laugh because they talk about market penetration. But yeah, so to kind of, you know, break the walls or whatever, and hopefully they have another system for such things, or when such things happen. So that's one of my fears. But other than that, it looked pretty futuristic. But there's a lot of wasteland on either side. If you see, you know, there's just a parallel thing, and then there's land on this side, land on that side. So maybe they can build multiple cities. But my God, again, you know, we'll just be living in this, and then that will actually be a concrete jungle. Also, you know, if it's a futuristic mega city and they are spending $1 trillion, $1 trillion, not even rupees, $1 trillion to build this, then you can imagine that the houses in those areas would be expensive. And obviously, just like you, I mean, at least in India, when you're living in a huge residential complex, you have to pay maintenance, which is your security, your the garden maintenance, and then the building upkeep and maintenance, you know, the light that is kept on, the basic amenities that you get, the swimming pool, this, that. So then for this 1 trillion mega city as well, you would have to pay maintenance. So what would be the maintenance then, and how? My biggest question is, how do these sheikhs have so much money? Like, I thought back in the day, okay, I think this was 10 years ago, the richest person on earth was Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, and these guys were like dabbling between 45 billion and stuff. Now the richest person is your Elon Musk, and he has some $200 billion. And then you have your Jeff Bezos, who has like 180. Then you have somebody else who has 140. They're talking about this $1 billion like as if it's what do you call it, like as if it's $140 in your pocket. But what is $1 trillion? I mean, I think 1 trillion is something that the US government owes to China, or 3 trillion, I don't know what. That's another thing which I want to get into someday, where countries owe each other some amount of money, and the interest in that is still being accumulated. So when you can't pay that money back, do they just take the land from that country, or how does it work? That's another thing I want to talk about someday. But again, $1 trillion, where do the sheikhs have or get so much money from? Gold? Oil? $1 trillion is a lot of money. What do you do with that much money? Which gets me to the next news. Basically, there is a Mega Million jackpot, which is like a lottery ticket thing in the UK. And because people have not been winning or getting the winning numbers, the one that came out, I think, today, which is Friday, was for $1.1 billion. And the numbers were announced, I think, a few hours ago. Nobody has yet come up to claim the winning ticket. If somebody wins the lottery, then they have 180 days to come and claim the money. I don't know why they're saying 180 days. I would just come within 1 hour and say, hey, give my money. Also, in addition to the person who's winning the lottery, the person who sold the ticket, the store basically who sold the ticket, that guy also gets a cut from the $1.1 billion, and he will get $50,000, he or she. How cool, right? So if this amount is won, it would be the second largest jackpot in the lottery game history. And this would be only the third time in the 20-year history of the American Mega Millions jackpot that the big prize has reached $1 billion. And the world's largest lottery prize, I was checking that out, that has been won till today is for $1.537 billion, which was won by someone in South Carolina in 2018. $1.5 billion. What do you do with that much money? Okay, and just to kind of, you know, make you guys understand, this ticket costs only $2. So I don't know where Mega Millions is making their money from, or where they're making any money from. But $1.5 billion. So basically, they have like 303 million combinations of numbers. So your chance of winning this amount is 1 in 303 million. But imagine if you win such a lottery. You know, like one day you're kind of just having a normal day job. 9 to 5, you're getting your basic salary, you're going to the bar, you're having a decent life, and suddenly the next day you just, you know, go and buy a ticket, like, let me try my luck, and you see the winning numbers, and it's $1.5 billion in your name. what do you do after? Obviously, you give up your job. Next is you just go and put it in the bank. I mean, you can just live off the interest for like the rest of your life and your kids and your grandkids and everyone. You buy houses and properties all over the world. Do you invest in that? You invest that money somewhere? I don't know whether a person who was just having a normal day job would suddenly think of investing that money. I think this is what happens. I've read this somewhere that people who win this lottery amount, normally they go bankrupt in the next 1 year or 2 years. Because what happens is, it's normal. When you don't have so much money and you see so much money, you go crazy and you start spending it. As opposed to like an Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos, who have started, you know, a company and they kind of, you know, use their profits to build the company and then they reach this. And it's not that they've reached 287 and they'll just start spending the 287. They will, you know, continue making more and more profit and increasing their company and making more money. But the person who wins is 1.5 billion balls, he's going to start a company or do an investment. He's going to start spending money, going for parties, buying unnecessary equipment. Maybe property would be the only thing that might be really beneficial or profitable for that person. That is, if they think of investing in property. Otherwise, yeah, if you go and read up on the internet, all these people who have won lotteries have gone bankrupt. So it's really sad. But if I won a lottery, property I would invest in cars, Bugatti Veyron. If you go and check my Instagram, I'm just following all these expensive car brands to make me, you know, kind of work hard for them. So your Bugatti Veyron, McLaren, Ferrari, Porsche, what's the other one, Lamborghini. I'll buy each of these cars, have a nice garage, have a nice collection, and buy a nice mansion somewhere. And then with the other money, I'll just invest. I'll invest it, and I don't know what, but I'll kind of find a financial advisor and invest it. Oh yes, I'll have a big action figure collection. That's if I ever win a lottery like that, which I don't think is ever going to happen. So we'll not talk about that and make me any more sad, because the next news is going to make all of you sad and scared. That's because debris from a massive Chinese booster rocket could fall to Earth early next week. Now, generally, most things Chinese are small, if you get my drift, but or Asian. But this particular rocket was 23 ton, okay, weighed that much, and it delivered whatever equipment it had to the Wenxian laboratory module, you know, it docked over there, gave the equipment, and then after completing its job, the rocket went into an uncontrolled descent towards the Earth's atmosphere, and it's not clear where it would land. But yeah, so I mean, this can very well happen to anybody who's on a phone call with you, and suddenly you'll hear like, hey, stop, right? Because, yeah, I mean, there's a huge chance that this rocket might just fall into the ocean and might fall on some whale or some other sea creature or the Loch Ness Monster. But if it ever falls on land, and God forbid, I hope this kind of... But it's shitty. I think this is the second or third time that China has not, you know, kind of taking care of their debris well of their space rockets. They need to take accountability for all this. Firstly, they're trying to control the weather, then this rocket. So they are just trying to, and I mean, come on, we know how COVID started. So China, come on. I mean, if you want to kind of destroy the earth or kind of clear out the population, don't try doing that, because you know what goes around comes around. So yeah, I mean, I'm not talking about this for people in China, because that's not the people in China who are taking... Like, whenever we talk about China, people are like, oh, Chinese. No, it's not. The Chinese people are really nice, okay? It's these people in the government, in the top management, and people who are taking all these decisions. They need to kind of, you know, like, take care, or like people who are involved in the laboratory trying to kind of do this bio-warfare with COVID and stuff. And now we have monkeypox. So yeah, but yeah, man, this is really scary with monkeypox and you know, COVID just leaving us for 2 years. I mean, after 2 years, and now suddenly we have monkeypox. And China, you guys are good at making cheap speakers, cheap phones, and you know, other things cheap. So just keep doing that, nah, and kind of do your business and be like the second superpower in the world after the US. Be happy with that. Don't try to be like the top superpower. Let the US do their shit with their Mega Millions and everything else. And yeah, go and buy a house in Saudi Arabia. On that very note, we come to the end of episode 44 of the Dread Indian Show. I hope you guys had a great time listening to the podcast. Please go follow me on Instagram, YouTube, I'm dread Indian over there. Pornhub, not yet, but yeah, that's like a retirement plan. And to recommend something to watch, I think there's something that you guys could go and watch, and I loved watching that. I just randomly came across it. It's this show called Heart to Heart, which is Kevin Hart's talk show, where it's not a general talk show where, you know, you kind of talk about the celebrities, the fun life and stuff. No, this is like a very, it's heart to heart. It's Kevin Hart's friend. So he interviewed Jay-Z, he interviewed Chris Rock. I still have a part of Chris Rock's interview. And really cool, you know, the way he talks about it. It's basically, it's like they're sitting in a bar, or actually they're sitting in a wine cellar, and they're just talking and the cameras are on. So you feel like you're kind of sitting there pretending to be a table lamp and you're hearing to the entire conversation. And it's really cool to listen about all these big guys, you know, how they got there, but talks that you don't generally hear about, rather than just talking about Jay-Z's album or Chris Rock being slapped. They didn't even talk about Chris Rock being slapped by Will Smith, which reminds me that Will Smith put out an apology. I mean, dude, what's the use of putting out an apology now? It's over. You're not going to get movies for a few years. You're not going to get commercials, endorsements. You should think that's the Oscars. If you wanted to slap Chris Rock, you could have done that later. No. Anyways, I hope Will Smith also finds peace somewhere. But you guys go and watch Heart to Heart. Good show. I'll go and watch that right now. And you guys have a great weekend and keep smiling.
Congratulations. You are a lucky listener who will win $1,000.
Why would anyone win $1,000 just for listening to a podcast? But thank you for listening to the Dread Indian Show. And if you guys like the podcast, make sure you subscribe on the EP Log Media website or your favorite podcast streaming apps such as Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, JioSaavn, or any other streaming app that you use. If you use Apple Podcasts, do rate and review the Dread Indian Show. It helps other people discover the podcast. You can also follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Pornhub? No, not on Pornhub yet. But you can follow me on all these social medias at Dread Indian. So, sexy people, see you next week. Take care and keep smiling.